truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendrick Show.
The move from Gibson, from Guantanamo Bay to Thompson, Illinois, that means the stigma of Gitmo would
transfer. By the time she asked me that question, even though it was kind of early on in the interview.
You know, I'm not going to second guess any decision that the Attorney General made, but I...
This is the t-shirt everybody is talking about.
Huddle with me, Captain Cajones.
World famous Phil Hendrick Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where we were over this past weekend in Atlanta, Georgia, for Don Anthony's talk show boot camp. And we were a part of a great seminar where we told young people how to do a better talk show. And then I said, well, it really doesn't make any difference because there's no CEOs here, man. You know, some guy said, how can I do a better talk show? I said, you're going to have to get your show syndicated because they're firing local hosts anyway.
Oh, man, I bet you didn't want to hear that one.
Well, I was there to, you know, I'm just kidding. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendrick Show. Coming up this hour, Margaret Gray joins us, and she'll be talking about Sarah Palin. She was interviewed on Oprah today. Critics are also mad that Obama bowed to Japan's emperor. We're going to have Raj Fanin joining us for a comment on that. Call of Duty 2 has been banned in Russia, and, of course, we were discussing Call of Duty 2 on our show last week. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. This is the Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass, talk show of all talk shows. This is the purest Reality is Our Bitch talk show that you're going to find anywhere. Let me remind you as well, if you go to philhendryshow.com, you're going to find a live streaming video of our show as well as live streaming audio of the show, and we'd like you to join us there for that if you want to watch the show as well as listen to the show, and you may not be around an affiliate or in a part of the country where there's an affiliate. Or maybe you are with an affiliate, but you'd also like to watch the show as it's taking place. You can go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and you can Twitter at twitter.com/philhendryshow. That's a Twitter site manned by our staff, and you can comment and critique and get stuff off your chest or try to jam up our feed or whatever you want to do over there. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Joining us is the author of a weekly column called A Little Bird Told Me on the Dicklin Syndicate, Margaret Gray. And Sarah Palin, interviewed by Oprah Winfrey. She's pushing a new book, Margaret, and perhaps a political comeback. I know you interviewed her. What is she like?
Well, Phil, I think Sarah Palin, first of all, is a very charming and very capable woman. For the job that she had, which was the governor of Alaska, she was consummately, I think, qualified. She knew the state very well and knows the state very well. She understands, I think, the sensibility that one has to have as the governor of a small state. And when I say a small state, I mean a state that is...
Not that populated.
Exactly. It's obviously a very large geographic span. But it is also a small state in terms of how the people there view themselves and how they are perceived by the rest of the country. I think she's a very capable woman. The thing that got Sarah Palin beaten in the 2008 election, and by the way, what beat Sarah Palin beat John McCain, not the other way around. I think John McCain might have been far more electable had he picked another running mate.
You do? Really? Can you think of somebody?
Well, I'm a Democrat, so I'm not really... It's not something that I really focused a lot of my energy on, but I do know that she was just the wrong person at the wrong time in the history of this country. In terms of a national stage, I don't mean that, as I said, she wouldn't make a great governor, and she did, I'm sure, for the people of Alaska. But she really wasn't that national figure, I think, that the American people needed. And the American people found that out very, very quickly. Obviously, when she began to react to a lot of what was said about her, it wasn't the shining moment of Sarah Palin's career.
Well, tell me where she went wrong. Are you talking about Sarah Palin's political point of view?
I don't really think it was so much the political point of view as it was her inability to grasp the American mind. And I know that sounds... I know it sounds a little confusing when we think about what a lot of people think was the strength of Sarah Palin, and that was her ability to connect with people. She didn't really connect with the American mind at all. She connected with a certain segment of the American mind, but she didn't get it about the American people someone that is has a sense of humor about themselves, is self-deprecating, is a regular person, can give a shot as well as take a shot. And we all know and we all saw during the campaign that Sarah Palin was very, very lacking in that regard. So,
you know, I want to ask you about that, her inability to take a shot or to dish out a shot. But I wanted also for our listeners to hear just a little tiny bit of this interview that she did on the Oprah Winfrey show today. She was talking about her book, and she was talking about a great many things, including whether or not she would run for president. Here she is addressing the Katie Couric interview, though, when she was asked what magazines and newspapers she reads, and she caught a lot of hell for that, and here she is talking about that.
By the time she asked me that question, even though it was kind of early on in the interview, I was already so annoyed, and it was very unprofessional of me to wear that annoyance on my sleeve. But
it
was like
you couldn't think of any in the moment.
No,
or you were...
it was more like, are you kidding me? Are you really asking me? To me, it was in the context of, do you read? How do you stay informed? You're way up there. It seemed like she was discovering this nomadic tribe, a member of a tribe from some Neanderthal cave in Alaska, asking me, how do you stay in touch with the real world? That's how I took the question. So I kind of I rolled my eyes and was annoyed with the question and thought, you know, I think that this is a problem with the state of journalism today.
What is that what you're talking about?
Well, that's a little bit of it, Phil. When Katie Couric asked her, do you read books? Are you aware of what's going on in the country? It was a pretty logical question when you're asking the governor of a state that is very remote. And I'm not saying that being the governor of any state is an easy job. But obviously there are some states that require, and I'll probably get in trouble for this, but require more intellect, I guess. Or not really more intellect so much as there are states that require more worldliness. California obviously is one. New York is obviously one. Pennsylvania. But Alaska, one doesn't think, requires that kind of worldliness. Now, that's one thing. But
Well, let's get back to this, what you were saying about Sarah Palin. What beat her was her inability to connect with the American mind.
Yeah, well, I was going to get to that. The thing that beat Sarah Palin more than anything else was the fact that she didn't understand that we enjoy jokes. We think they're funny. We don't mean anything by them.
What kind of jokes? Are you talking about the jokes about her daughters?
Well, the jokes about her daughters and about her son, that is, her son who has, I think, Down syndrome. No one is trying to insult her. We love a good joke about people. And certainly when you have a daughter that is living the kind of life that Sarah Palin's daughter lived, you have to expect you're going to get jokes. And if you have a son that is physically, I'm saying, as unusual as her son was.
When you say physically unusual, if this baby has, and I'm not sure, I guess it's Down syndrome, are you talking about that?
Well, yeah, a little bit of that, but not to the point where you're cruel. It's the American mind, and again, the American attitude, that when we see a baby that is unusual looking like that, we do make the humorous comment. Now, is it right or is it wrong? I don't know. I'm not going to comment. But I do know it's very much a part of the American milieu, if you will. And Sarah Palin not getting that and not saying, well, okay, I get it. He does. My son Trigg looks a little funny. I understand. Okay, let's move on to the next issue or the next joke. Instead, through her handlers, she put up a fuss, made a much, much bigger deal out of it than she should have, and in the process, I think, embarrassed herself. Not only embarrassed herself, I think she embarrassed her family as well.
Well, if you have a child, and I know you have a son, Margaret.
I do have a son, Jason J. Delmonico, but he doesn't have that problem. In fact, my son is a child actor. So he obviously doesn't have any physical abnormality, and so that I don't know why you brought that up. But,
well, I bring it up from the standpoint of being a mother and loving your child.
I understand.
And you love your child, and you see your child through those eyes of love. And when someone makes a joke about your baby who may be born with a developmental disability or a physical disability, or a daughter who is confused in life, you know.
Well, we all understand what it is to be parents, but we also understand that these things are funny. I mean, a daughter living in, well, it's almost a cliche, you know, a daughter living in Alaska, and she gets, quote, knocked up, and there's some a trailer involved, and, you know, all of these things that for many of us, are the stuff of a good joke. They're the stuff of what makes the American sense of humor, I think, so original and so unique in that we are able to look at a child, yes, that is very unfortunate and has Down syndrome or may have an unusual face. Or look at a young girl who is 14 or 15 and is pregnant, and we're able to go right to the heart of where the humor is in that. And Sarah Palin never got it. She made a big deal out of these comments. She got catty. She got, if you'll pardon the expression, bitchy. And in the process, she got John McCain defeated.
And well, all right, so not to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
If she had had a better sense of humor about her son and her daughter, in terms of her daughter's pregnancy and her son's birth defect, she might have been elected vice president.
They would have had a much, much better shot. The American people would have said, okay, Sarah Palin, she's one of us. She's normal. She gets it. She gets that when you go out into public with a child, a beautiful child in her mind, but to others, unusual. When you go into public with an unusual-looking baby, or you go into public with a daughter that has this kind of a history of showing up places, and suddenly she's, how do they put it, she's gotten a little bit bigger, or however you want to say it. We have a history in this country of laughing at that, and we like it when the people whose children they are laugh with us. That's all.
Well, all right, Margaret Gray joins us here on Sarah Palin and her new book, Going Rogue, and the interview she did with Oprah, and why it is that Sarah Palin may not be able to mount a second comeback, if you will, or a second campaign for national office, because she just didn't have that American mindset. She got a little too sensitive when the jokes about her son and her daughter started flying, and responded, and she used the word bitchy fashion. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray, our guest here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back, and we'll play a little bit more, some of the other clips here from the Oprah Winfrey interview that Sarah Palin did. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Show. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, starting off the night here with nationally syndicated columnist Margaret Gray about the Sarah Palin interview with Oprah. And the general, not the problem per se, but the general situation with Sarah Palin's national run for politics. Margaret, I've got another clip I want to play for our audience here. We played her commenting with Oprah on Katie Couric. Here she tells Oprah why she stepped down as the governor of Alaska.
I resigned as the governor of Alaska because I wasn't going to run for a second term. I was heading into a lame duck term.
Why not just finish what you started?
Well, what I did after my years in office, and I came back after August 29th being tapped, we came back from those 10 weeks on the road to a new normal in Alaska. Everything had so changed for my administration. There were so many opposition researchers up there that were sent, some of them by the Obama camp, were sent up there to start the FOIA requests and the ethics violation charges.
It was a point where my state, the state that I so dearly love, and is my home, it is where I will be buried.
That my state of Alaska was being hampered by my presence there, being shackled behind a governor's desk.
Margaret, what did you say? I heard you say in the middle of the clip she prevaricates.
Well, I'm not calling the woman a liar. I'm just saying she's off point. She's very off point. She resigned as the governor of Alaska because she was basically told that she's out of the loop on how the American people want to see a national politician. And I think she really had to get up to speed on it. I think she needed to resign. I think she needed to go into, if you will, Phil, training to run another national campaign.
But you were talking about her inability to take jokes.
Absolutely. Her inability to take a joke. And again, I'm not talking about children with birth defects being funny. That's the furthest thing from what I'm saying. I'm saying that you have to understand, if you're running for president of the United States or vice president and you have a child that is unusual looking, is this worth 3 or 4 points? I don't know, in popularity. You've got to be able to take some of those jokes.
So if she wasn't able to take the jokes, she loses 3 or 4 points popularity-wise.
But if she is able to say, ha ha, you know, that's funny, yes, he does look, he is unusual, maybe 3 or 4 points in the plus column. I don't know.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Kevin in Wichita. Kevin, you're on the line here with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, sir.
Well, how you doing, Phil? I've been listening to you for about a month now, and
Yes, sir.
I'm beside myself. I've heard this woman talk about the American people having a sense of humor about how a child looks, and that we all think it's funny.
Well,
that,
don't you think that when anyone is unusual looking, we laugh? If you
lady,
have big ears, if you have a big nose.
Listen, I can only hope and pray for your own sake that you never have a grandchild or a child that ever has that kind of defect. And then I bet you, Chris, $100 bill, you're not sitting there saying what you're saying on this station now, because you know what? You should be pitied.
No, you don't understand. When someone is running for vice president of the United States and you're asking for the support of the American people, you have to be able to roll with the punches. If you've got a daughter that's getting knocked up in a trailer, I don't know. What can you do but make
jokes
about it?
Those are your comments about being locked up in a trailer. You know what? There's people that live in this country that live in trailers, and that doesn't make them any less diverse than you. Okay.
Of course not. But I'm saying we laugh at them. Don't we laugh at them?
Well, some people, the people that live in the trailers are not laughing.
Well, how many of them are there as opposed to the rest of us? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I say. God forbid something would happen to you. You know, we're all 1 week away from being homeless or unemployed, especially with today's economy. And you know what? It could easily be you, and you could be the one sitting back having somebody laugh at your child. And I pray that that doesn't happen to you.
I'm thankful that my son, Jason J. Delmonico, is very handsome. I am grateful that we won't have that problem. I'm very grateful.
I don't hear grateful coming out of you. I don't think there's anything special about me. I don't hear any gratefulness coming out of you. I hear how your child is an actor. I don't hear any pity coming out of you for the child that has a defect. You call it humor. And I don't know what part of the country you're from.
Are you telling me, if I said to you that a child with Down syndrome, do you remember Bat Dylan in There's Something About Mary? You can show a movie on their forehead, and everyone laughed. Why can't Sarah Palin?
Because it's her son. It's her child, Margaret.
Bill, you don't have to raise your voice. I understand that.
But what this gentleman's saying is, what if it was your son?
Exactly. What if it was your son or your grandchild?
It doesn't compute because my son is very handsome. So I don't know what. How am I supposed to look at that? I don't understand.
You say your son is very handsome. If Jason J. Delmonico came out with this problem.
Well, we would have found that out with the sonogram.
And then what?
Well, I think the move is obvious.
Abortion.
Bill, you're not going to put me in the position of being the bad guy here. I said what I said.
You would have aborted your child had the child had Down syndrome.
I thought we were talking about Sarah Palin.
Well, I'm just trying to find your values here. Where are they?
Exactly.
My values are the same of all American people. You've got a kid.
No. You do not speak for all American people.
Then why didn't she win the election? Why didn't she win the election? Because she couldn't laugh at herself.
Laugh at herself. All right, sir, I appreciate your call very much. We've got to take a break here. We'll get to more of your phone calls. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Is there something to what Margaret is saying about Sarah Palin was not able to garner a larger national base of support for the election, for the run of vice president, because she couldn't laugh at the jokes that people were making about her son, Trigg, or her daughter's pregnancy? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, but that's the thing I'm saying. I got Margaret Gray on the line. Margaret, the nationally syndicated columnist from the Dicklin Syndicate with the column A Little Bird Told Me. You wrote a column about Sarah Palin's son, Trigg. We'll get to our phone calls in a moment. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. You wrote a column about this after Sarah Palin became VP, right? I mean the nominee.
Yeah, when right after she became the VP nominee, I wrote a column called Show Us the Child. What I was really saying there was, let's see the child. We know that you have a child that is unusual, and that...
But the child has a... Can we say that the child has a birth defect?
If you want to say birth defect, I think it's far less stigmatizing to say unusual. Say birth defect, people automatically assume there is something wrong. There's one arm, or there's this kind of thing. So I say that, but if you want a birth defect, I wrote the article, I said, show us the child. I was trying to say to her, this is going to go much better for you if you will just bring the child out and hold it up in front of a camera, wherever you're, whatever you're choosing, you know, whichever venue, and move the child from side to side and say, here, this is what you're all going to be making jokes about in 6 months anyway.
Well, all right, and say, here's my freak son. Is that what we're talking about?
No, Phil, I didn't say... I really wish you wouldn't be that dramatic. I didn't say that at all. What I'd say, Bob Dole ran for President of the United States. You remember that, don't you?
Of course.
Bob Dole has an arm that was terribly injured in World War II. He didn't hide it. He didn't put a black glove on it, as a lot of people... I'm sure you've seen the science fiction or the horror movies where the doctor with the bad arm puts a black glove on his hand. He didn't do any of that. In fact, he drew attention to it by putting a pen in the hand and saying, here is my arm. It is useless. It hangs here. And what did we say to Bob Dole? We love you. We respect you for your service to our country.
And so if Sarah Palin said, here's my kid, get the jokes out of the way...
She would have been beloved by the American people. We would have all said, look at how this woman gets it about how unusual her child looks. And then she can laugh with the rest of us at what it looks like and
at what she's... You're talking about a woman's son. That's the part that gets me. Let's go to a phone call. We have Valerie in Boston. Valerie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Margaret, what's unusual is your distorted view of how Americans think and what they think is funny. I think that you're ignoring...
You didn't hear David Letterman. You didn't hear David Letterman making the jokes. You didn't hear
David
these
Letterman,
jokes.
David Letterman needs to laugh at himself, first of all.
Well, but
she has
he's
a
very
huge
popular.
Support base. It's,
he's
it's
very
annoying.
Popular.
It's not... I'm sorry, Margaret, but let me speak for 2 seconds here. I deserve a minute here. She didn't lose anything.
God.
She's only getting started. She has a huge support base. She is a true representative of the American people. I've lived in a trailer park. Give me a break. I'm now a registered nurse, and I take care of those unusual-looking children.
And don't you laugh about those days that you were in the trailer park. Don't you laugh about that?
That's hilarious. It's hilarious that people have to live in a trailer park and have Down syndrome children, and then the teenage girls get pregnant. Isn't that hilarious?
I don't expect it to be funny.
I think that's
very important. Well, you gave yourself away. You gave yourself away by saying you used to live in one. Of course you don't think it's funny, but that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Listen,
I'm telling
Margaret,
and I'm telling Sarah Palin, laugh about
Margaret,
it. Laugh about your circumstance.
Your Democratic voters in this country think that everybody should live in a trailer park of equal value. Okay, how's that?
What? What are you talking about?
What am I talking
oh
about?
Oh, my God.
You're talking about a system of
if anybody's out of touch here, you are,
here,
darling.
And it's funny to laugh at the poor people.
Well, it is funny to laugh at people that were in
it.
Well, it is funny to laugh at people in trailer parks. You'd know that had you not lived at one, is all I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, all right, but the lady's point that she's saying is where do you live, Margaret?
You know very well that we live in Santa Monica. We've got a beautiful home.
Oh, that's
and I won't,
nice.
I'm not going to lord it over you. I won't lord it over you.
I live in a beautiful home now, Margaret, as well. But that is not
well, it's funny. A minute ago, you were in a trailer park. And well, you said you were
that's
in a trailer park. And when I said I lived in a beautiful home, now you live in one.
Listen, what's important in America is not where you live or what
I think I've become your role model.
Like
hold on for a minute here.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I agree. I'm agreeing with you, Valerie. Margaret, I brought up your own son.
Well, she's laughing because she knows what I'm saying is true. She lived in a trailer park, and it's funny. And there are people that laugh about that.
So what? She's just bringing people together.
Well,
I've had the same experience.
Funny.
She is more of an American and she is more of American any day than you could ever
You don't think white trash jokes are funny.
You are totally out of touch, woman. You are totally out of touch.
Well, if I was out of touch, why wasn't Sarah Palin elected vice president?
Because John McCain wasn't elected.
That was so easy.
And Palin. How would that have been a ticket? They have to be a Democrat. Didn't know she was Republican. Give me a break. Have you
Democrat
seen the
didn't
interview?
Know she was Republican. Are you understanding what this was? What do you mean by that? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
If you
I will say this.
Colleges,
if you don't think white trash jokes are funny,
all right.
If you interview the college students and ask them what party Sarah Palin is in, they have no idea.
What's that got to do with the people that voted?
They're the people who voted for Obama.
No. No, they're not.
Yes,
no, they're not.
They are. I'm sorry, but educated people did not.
Well, your nervous laughter does not belie the fact that you lived in a trailer park, and that's why you
goodness.
Don't think it's funny. That's why you don't
why do you think
it's funny.
That's so funny.
All right, okay.
Why do you think that's funny, Bob?
Because it is funny. It never live in something that can be delivered. Thank you.
Oh, ha 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 ha!
Ooh,
not funny.
Wow.
All right, thank you very much for your call. Let's go over to Sarah in Anchorage. Now, here is a lady named Sarah, and she's in Alaska, and. Sarah, you're on with Margaret Gray and Phil Hendry.
Not Sarah Palin.
No, it's not Sarah Palin. Go ahead, ma'am.
No, it's not. there's a couple different reasons why I called in. One mainly, but the first one is saying, stereotypically, she came from a trailer park. That being said, it proves that you've never been to Alaska.
Did her daughter get knocked up in a trailer or not?
A lot of the people in Alaska are very wealthy. You don't know what you're talking about unless you come here.
I didn't say they weren't. I'm saying Sarah Palin's family has a daughter.
No, you said
that's walking around with a, if you'll pardon me, with a bun
Alaska.
In the oven and the kid. Where?
You said stereotypically of Alaska. That's not the stereotype.
No,
of Alaska.
I never used those words. I never used those words.
Yeah, you did.
I
play it back and you'll hear it.
It was rural. It was rural. I said Alaska's rural. And I said, but for Sarah Palin to have a daughter that was having sex in a trailer behind a country western bar.
What are you talking about? Where'd you get that information?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, that's. Am I
wrong
to say that that girl was unmarried and had? Am I wrong to say the girl was unmarried and had a bun in the oven?
You're wrong. You're uneducated. You don't know anything.
Wait,
about
was
Alaska,
she unmarried
place.
And had a
Number
bun in the
two.
Oven?
Are you saying she was pregnant instead of bun in the oven?
I'm trying to relate. This is what I'm talking about.
Go ahead, please, ma'am. Go ahead.
Well, okay. And then saying that it's okay to make
you know,
fun
I love
of
how everyone's laughing
less
with their nervous
than yourself.
Yeah,
it's not. She has every right to stand up and say it's wrong, especially being a public figure. She has every right. And just
Absolutely.
Because
and you have
okay
every
for...
right to be a stick in the mud and to be a party pooper, but people are not
exactly.
going to watch you in the party.
You know what?
And that's how Sarah Palin came across.
It wasn't all right to make fun of black people. It wasn't all right to oppress black people. Brave people stood up and said it's wrong. Just what she's saying now, it's wrong to make fun of less fortunate people.
That's a very good point.
You know why people make fun of less fortunate people?
Are you comparing a child that's unusual looking? I'm not saying that the child shouldn't have every benefit.
Yes, you are.
But she could have. She
because
could have prepared
once you make fun of somebody, you're oppressing them also. Yes, you are.
She could have prepared us for it by showing us the child.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
You're very wrong. And
yes,
you know, the
no,
bottom line why
right.
people make fun
right.
of other people is
oh, let me see. Because they're insecure.
Because
they're
insecure. They have problems of their own.
Thank you, Dr. Laura. Thank you, Dr. Laura.
So
now,
what's your
I'm going to give you the, now, I'm going to give you the way life really
what's
is.
What's your problem?
Okay, are you on the radio?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Vicki. Vicki, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray.
And I
hi.
Well, we hit some music by mistake, yeah. Go ahead, Vicki.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes,
just
ma'am.
I wanted to say, I'm a pro-life Democrat and everything, and I don't feel that you're speaking for most of the people in the United States of America. I like to think that they're not making fun of her children. And I applaud Sarah Palin for getting upset about it.
The Huffington Post had a very funny piece about it. Everyone laughed. Everyone thought it was cute. And what's wrong with that?
The Huffington Post, huh?
Yes, and you can hear, this lady is pausing, because when I said Huffington Post, she now knows she may be wrong. See how she's thinking about it?
I don't know, maybe she's not. Vicki, you're there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I don't know if you heard the comment, but okay, Margaret said the Huffington Post had a piece, and I read that Huffington Post piece. Not only was it not funny, the Huffington Post pulled the piece down after they got complaints.
Well,
what
I don't
did
know
the Huffington
that's the
Post
case.
Say?
It was very
what
funny.
Was the article?
The Huffington Post had an article about that when Sarah Palin becomes elected president, she'll have all these programs for retarded people. And the guy enumerated all these Down syndrome programs. And it was not funny. And the Post got so many complaints that they pulled it off, you know.
Well, I think it's typical of Arianna Huffington to show that kind of gutlessness, because she's always been about insinuating herself with the right people.
Oh, okay. So then the Huffington Post got it wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, they were right about putting it on the...
Let this lady finish talking. Go ahead, Vicki.
I'm sorry. Ms. Gray, I just wanted to say I can't believe you're harping on that aspect of her. What I felt about Sarah Palin, and I really admire her for being such an accomplished woman and everything, I felt as though the country needed someone who was a real intellectual, like a Barack Obama. But the thing was, is that Sarah Palin, to me, was someone who was very accomplished and everything, but much more well-rounded than any of the other candidates, probably. You know, not used
well,
to getting
the well, that was my point,
off.
Exactly. She's a little bit of a hayseed. That's what I was trying to say. And people get upset with that.
Well, you didn't just say hayseed. You said trailer trash. You said her daughter got knocked up in a trailer behind a country western bar. How do we know that?
That is my understanding. So I would say, Vicki, the following thing. Don't be so ready to wave the white flag of surrender because the conservatives are jumping all over you. You know it's funny when a kid comes out and, how do I say this? Well, he has those unusual features. He has the unusual features.
Are you talking about a Down syndrome child?
I'm talking about how Sarah Palin could have been far better off for the national stage had she went, when she was nominated to say, and here is my kid, all right, go ahead, get it off your chest.
I didn't hear too many people making fun of her child. In fact, you know what? I felt as though, I said, my God, she is really a person of value. She is really taking
But don't you think it would have been better if she'd put the child up in the air in front of the cameras and said, go ahead, get it off your chest?
Go ahead and get what off your chest? How funny looking my kid is?
Well,
I
give you this piece of information. She lost the election. You know, so that is my hammer, if you will. She lost. Obama won. With all of his so-called popularity.
Well, there are a lot of reasons for that, Margaret, and a lot of it doesn't have anything to do with her kid. Thank you very much for your call, Vicky. A lot of it has nothing whatsoever to do with whether she was able to make take the jokes about her kid looking, quote, unusual. 877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-PHIL. I think that Ms. Gray is missing the point here. Sarah Palin lost because her politics, were off the mark. Not her kid looking unusual, and she couldn't take a joke about it. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show, back in just a minute. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry.
What Margaret Gray is with us. We're going to get back to our phone calls here. 877-876-PHIL. So what are you saying about Sarah Palin?
I'm saying, Phil, that first of all, I'm saying that her looks were never an issue. I don't think that, you know, every woman listening to me right now knows that Sarah Palin's got a big rear end. Now, a lot of men think maybe that's attractive, I don't know. But we all know, all the women listening know, that she had a big rear end. She wasn't all that hot. That's fine, and that's not an issue. But the fact that she couldn't laugh when someone said, Trig looks like blankety blank, and when David Letterman makes a joke about you, I think what you should say is thank you. Thank you.
About her daughter being knocked up by Alex Rodriguez.
I think you say thank you, Mr. Letterman. Thank you. Thank you for the mention. Thank you for the plug. Now, I want to say something.
I got to get to a phone call here, okay?
But I want to say one thing. Didn't you tell me once that you thought Elizabeth Dole was attractive?
No, I did not ever say I thought Elizabeth Dole was attractive.
You know, you are. No, you did, Phil. You know, you leave me with egg on my face dripping off my chin, and I've got a towel off. But you, because you're the host of the show, can say anything you want.
I never said that. Let's go to Charles in Nashville. Charles, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil. I just want to know, where in the world did this woman come from? I mean, ma'am, you have no sense of reality of how the mainstream of America lives. I'm in a Walmart right now in Nashville, Tennessee.
Are you telling me that people don't laugh at Mongo jokes? Nobody laughs at a Mongo joke.
I'm a contractor. And you know what? I live in a trailer house out in the country with 20 acres, and the reason why I live in a trailer house...
And that's funny to me.
Boy, don't try to overtalk me, because I'm a salesman.
I'm not trying to. I'm trying to respond to your question.
True American, man. I mean, you're not. When you put down people like you do, I see babies like that, and I empathize with those people.
I don't doubt it.
They are. No, you don't, because you have no empathy, ma'am. You've never.
I don't doubt that you see a lot of them there in the trailer park. That's all I'm saying.
Santa Monica, and you've got a child actor. Well, whoopee-doo, let's give you one. You know what, ma'am? I'm a true American.
What does that mean? I don't understand what the man's saying.
Palin is a true American. She represents more America's mainline American than you ever will. Oh,
of course she does, because she has the child with Down syndrome, just like the children in your trailer park.
Y'all have a 50-pound bag of common sense and reality. I'm sorry, ma'am. You're out of luck.
Are you running? Are you running out of
air?
Is your emphysema acting up again?
Because you are so out of touch with reality, ma'am. I hope to God you get.
Well, you're very rude to women, aren't you? You must hate women.
God to give you some divine intervention, some common sense, because you have none.
I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God.
And Cheatham County anytime my 20 acres.
I don't want. I don't want tuberculosis.
Because says, you know what? I've got God-gifted common sense.
I go to your trailer and it's tuberculosis. You know it as well as I do.
I'll be glad when you drop off the face of the earth because we need none of you.
I'll be buried in the earth, but I won't fall off the edge of it.
I've not heard anything you said, but guess what?
I haven't heard anything that you've said either because you haven't put your teeth in today.
Get off here, man. You need a fucking...
You haven't put your teeth in today, and that's why I can't understand you. If you put your teeth in, I'd understand.
The reason you can't understand, man, because you've got no common sense.
I
can't understand
you. Nobody can
understand what you're saying.
The upper bridge. The upper bridge. The bridge.
All right. What is the point here, Margaret, of what it is you're trying to say?
I'm saying I don't doubt that he sees a lot of children with Down syndrome because of where he lives.
In other words, what?
So what's the point? He's trying to get his oxygen tank turned on. I don't...
All right, thank you very much for your call, Charles.
You know, I want to know, is that man, is he on oxygen?
I guess he's gone. And so are you.
You're not hanging up on me, not after you made that crack about Elizabeth...
877-876-PHIL. Coming up next hour, Raj Fanin and Obama's bow in Japan. This is the Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass Talk Show of America, The Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Now I got a towel off.
It's The Phil Hendry Show.
So Mika starts looking at her BlackBerry, and so does Scarborough, and obviously the White House is texting them or even...
I know exactly how that feels. Like, the other day...
Why
I was
all this discord and discourtesy? All this unprecedented, destructive act?
Throw another snowball! Throw the snowball!
You bought a loaded gun. Was your gun loaded today?
You blew it!
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show where reality is the bitch and through the looking glass we go, the Alice in Wonderland of talk radio. We tell you about what's happening, the news, the world. We tell you about you. This hour, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us to discuss something that has been controversial from the beginning, the so-called civilian force of President Obama's. Jay is the head of a group called Citizens Auxiliary Police. We'll be talking to him about the possible reaction over the health care plan. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget, our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you can go and watch live streaming video of our program right now. And you can also listen to live streaming audio of the show there. And coming up on Wednesday night, we're going to have a special presentation of a Phil Hendry Christmas Carol midnight on Wednesday night show, midnight. 877-876-PHIL. What we're going to talk about right now is the health care bill and something probably would seem to a lot of you guys is not related, and that was the comment during the campaign by the president that he wanted to see a civilian security force, a civilian force of people who are out, shall we say, protecting, enabling, and furthering American life in their own way in a volunteer capacity. Joining us, because Jay is with a group called the Citizens Auxiliary Police in the South Bay in Los Angeles, is Jay Santos. And Jay, it seems almost not fortuitous, but it seems that you were a little bit ahead of your time with your group.
Phil, I want to, first of all, say we don't really have a group so much as we don't see ourselves as a, what you want to call a volunteer group. What we see ourselves as is a legitimate civilian group of people, Citizens Auxiliary Police. We do take our constitutional right to citizens' arrest very seriously, but we also recognize that we can be a part of what President Obama is talking about when he talks about civilian security force. But we've been around since 1996. We were formed by Major Elvis Newton when he felt it was necessary to give the police an assist, as they say in basketball, where we could go out, we could do some traffic control, we could do some security at malls.
You're not like a guardian angel or anything like that.
No, we're not. Guardian angels were people who seem to be more into wearing a costume. We're not. We do have a blue armband, but we are far more, I would say we're far more serious in our efforts at protecting the public. We are, as I say, exercise constitutional right to citizen's arrest. We also believe that that allows us to inform the public as to behavior. If it is bordering on illegal, we will take a peek at it. But we do all this, of course, in a most respectful way, and as a way to assist the police.
The Obama health care bill has been praised by the president. We call it the Obama health care bill, but this is a health care bill that's supported by a lot of people. It has been praised by the president. The efforts of the Senate, I should say, was the Senate's health care bill will make a tremendous difference for families, for businesses, and for the country as a whole, President Barack Obama said today. Senate Democratic leaders basked in the victory for the landmark legislation that will ensure 30 million more Americans. And you and your group, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, released an email today. You sent an email today, Operation Neighborhood, in pursuant to the passage of this Obama health care bill. Can you tell me about it?
Sure, Phil. The thing we wanted to do with Operation Neighborhood, the thing we will do this weekend with Operation Neighborhood, we're going to, first of all, in support of President Obama's concept of a civilian security force, we do feel that that has given us added legitimacy, if you will. It has given us added enforcement power. And in that regard, what we're going to do this weekend, and in pursuit, you know, in weekends following too, is go into different malls, go into areas where there are different restaurants. We'd like to go to table, if you will, or go from person to person or groups of people, and pass out information on the health care bill and why this is a idea that they should consider and support. And then, of course, we will try to pay as much attention as we can to whatever conversations are going on between people, make sure that they're not misinformed. And if they are saying things aren't true, of course, we want to correct that and allow them to have the right information as opposed to repeating a lot of stuff that isn't true, a lot of things these tea people and everything have been saying. So
you're going over to malls and restaurants?
Well, basically, we're going anywhere where people are gathering, mostly restaurants. In a restaurant setting, that's where people are most likely going to sit down over a cup of coffee or over a salad or whatever they're going to have. And they're going to talk about the health care bill. And a lot of times, you're not able to hear what people are saying when they're in a situation like that. So we can sit down at a table and order some lunch and just sort of give a listen to what people are saying around us. If we hear something that is potentially damaging the president, as a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police, and as we feel a group that would be good for the civilian security force, we would go over to those people and ask them their names and why they feel the way they do.
But you're talking about people having a private conversation?
We're having a private conversation, no doubt about it, but they're also in a restaurant. And one of the things you probably don't know about, probably your listeners don't know anything about it, there's a thing in the Constitution called a reasonable expectation of privacy. You have a reasonable expectation of privacy if you're in your house or in your bathroom or, you know, a place like this. But if you're in a restaurant and I'm sitting there and I've got maybe Subcommander Pomeroy or, you know, Subcommander Larson, and we can hear...
Who are these? These are guys that are in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And we can hear someone saying Obama, you know, this, Obama that, and it happens to be particularly harsh or libelous, or I realize that's in the ear of the beholder. What we'll do is we'll just go over and introduce ourselves, ask them what their name is, see if we can see some ID, and find out why they feel the way they feel. And
so they're not really violating a law. They're just expressing an opinion that you say is slanderous?
Well, they're not violating a law yet. And in law enforcement, it's always very difficult. I don't know if you've ever been in law enforcement, Phil. I've been in law enforcement now, 10 years since we formed Citizens Auxiliary Police. It's always a fine line. You want to make sure that someone, not only are we there to, to prevent crime from happening, or I mean to also arrest people or whatever, even though we have citizens' arrest powers, but, regular arrest power, you want to prevent crime. And if I'm hearing people right after the passage of the health care bill talking and saying things are untrue, well, naturally I'm going to want to go over there and say something.
Well, I can understand that you may want to go over and say something to somebody, although I guess in today's society, you do so at your own risk.
Excuse me, Phil, I wasn't done telling you a little bit more.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What we do is we go over there and say, we heard you talking about President Obama like he's wrong or you think he's, a communist or whatever. If you wouldn't mind, I just want to see some ID. And
well, let me ask you this. Where do you...
Hold on. What we're doing is we're asking for their ID.
Yeah, but where do you... what if they don't present the ID?
Well, if they refuse... I don't see any reason why they would, refuse. All we're doing is let's see some ID. And why are you talking the way you are about the president?
But they're not going to... If people are just talking at a... If you don't mind me asking, Jay...
Go ahead, but I don't think you quite understand what we do.
Well, that may well be, but I mean, if they're just talking among themselves and they're saying, I think Obama's health care plan is lousy.
Well, they may say that it's lousy, but when they get into the reasons for why they think it's lousy, that's where most of the lying begins in a lot of the people that you'll talk with. They begin to lie about it, and that's when we, unfortunately, have to step in and tell them that, what you're saying is, you're a liar, and... We just want to see an ID and, maybe set them straight. I mean,
you're not going to call somebody a liar, are you? You're not going to walk up to a table of strangers and call them a liar.
Well, we're not calling them a liar per se. I mean, that's not my job. My job is, as a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police, is to make sure that the presidency is not damaged. We have freedom of speech. There's no question about it. But we don't have the freedom to yell fire in a crowded theater. We don't have the freedom to... damage the presidency of America. So what we want to do is give people the information on the health care bill, and we want to make sure people aren't disseminating false rumors. We want to be people to do that. And what I'd love to do right now, Phil, if we could, is have your audience call, and if they know of anybody who is disseminating false information about the health care bill...
You want them to call the show?
If they could call us right now.
All right, well, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And you may find out that there are people who are disseminating information that you consider to be false, but what are you going to do about it?
How am I going to do that? Oh, well, it's not a schoolyard fight, Phil.
I understand that, but what do you...
Well, we have freedom of speech, but not if it damages the presidency. You can't commit libel, you can't commit slander. And so if any member of your audience right now knows that people who are... saying false things about the health care bill, that it's it's a communist kind of, he thinks it's a communist deal or something like that, give us a call. We surely appreciate that.
All right, Jay Sanis is with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Citizens Auxiliary Police in Torrance, California. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. They've embarked upon Operation Neighborhood, where they're going to be near restaurants and malls, and if they hear people who are talking about the health care bill, and it is they're speaking in ways that are not true. If the information they're giving each other is false, they're going to be walking up to those people and asking for their IDs and to give them a little bit more information on it. Whether or not that's legal, I don't know. 877-876-PHIL is our number here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You can Twitter at twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show as well. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Just about law enforcement and saving lives.
All right, so now here's what you're saying. You're bringing back into the picture something the Catholic Church used to do, which was charge for dispensation.
No, Phil, I'm not saying anything, right? I'm not saying that at all.
No, and you're bringing back into the picture that some of the Catholic Church would charge for dispensation. They would charge for the sacraments. You're saying that the Protestants should charge gay people to be married in a Protestant church.
I know you're bringing up the Catholic faith. I think it's very unfortunate. The Catholic Church did what it had to do. Time for thought. And the things that we did in those days, which was 500, 600 years ago, you're going to keep on breaking as the boats that are casting nets over these unfortunate things. And I think it's right of you to bring that up. You've got guys like Flaherty. He bit it down with a whore. And the fact that there are so many Catholic priests. But yes, have had their hands in the cookie jar. So we're with the child. It's a very unfortunate thing to be with a child. But I can tell you, Phil, at the end of the day, the Protestants will be much happier if they go ahead and marry, as Father Staley said this the other day, and he'd had a couple of drinks, he'd go ahead and marry the queers and hit them up for it. And I realize that's a very unchristian thing to say.
I would most certainly say that is unchristian, coming from a priest.
He's back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police joins us as we talk about the Obama health care bill. It is, it's moved along to another level in the United States Congress, and you are with Operation Neighborhood. You and your officers, although you are a volunteer police agency, or you're a volunteer, really, security group.
Again, Phil, you got to remember, President Obama called on a civilian security force, so that ups the ante. You're all in, as they say in poker, you know.
All right, and Operation Neighborhood, you'll be asking people, listening to people's conversations?
No, we're not going to be listening to people's conversations. We're going table to table in restaurants and malls and these kinds of places, passing out information and make sure people know what's in the health care bill. We say to them, this is what's in the health care bill. If you do hear of people who are spreading falsehoods, we would appreciate if you'd let us know who they are. If we do hear people sitting at tables, this morning, as a matter of fact, we heard a couple in Northridge, California, out here in California is where we are, talking about death panels. And as you know, these death panels are false. And so I asked for a gentleman's ID. He refused at that time. We did, because we do carry zip ties, we zip tied his hands just to get his fingerprint, and we refused that. That's when we just took a piece of silverware and get a fingerprint off the silverware every time.
You zip tied the guy's hand. How do you zip tie a man's hands when you're not an official police agency? In other words...
No, you got to understand something. The Constitution says that you have a freedom of speech, but you can't yell fire. And that's what the Constitution says.
No, I know the Constitution says that, but how do you zip-tie someone?
Well, the man refused to present his ID to us.
Well, how do you get the ID when the guy's hands are zip-tied?
At that time, we then say, your hands are now restrained. We want a fingerprint, and that's when they will refuse again, and that's when we said, well, guess what? We'll just take a piece of silverware, which is what we did do, and then we took it back to the substation, and we dusted it for the print.
And what do you do with this information?
Department of Homeland Security.
Department of Homeland Security, because a man has questioned the wisdom of the health care bill.
No, it's not questioning the wisdom of the health care bill. This guy said there was death panels in the health care bill, which is completely false. Does not exist at all. You know, there's a difference between discussing, health care bill and saying a lie about what's in it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go to a phone call here. On the line with us, we have Neil. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I would just like to know where this guy is coming from. What he's talking sounds like propaganda that led Hitler to his rise, and the same type of public control.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
We live in America. We have the right to opinions, and if people want to sit and have a conversation, who would you think you are to butt in and get your point of view across and get their identification? My God, man!
Well, sir, we're not butting in. We sit at a table adjacent, and we do lean in to listen to what's going on. But we 99% of the time we never do anything. It's when someone says, Obama's a socialist, you know, that's when we have to, you know, we have to step in.
Wait, wait. When somebody says Obama's a socialist, you will go over?
All we do is we go, I think the gentleman didn't understand. We just go, we ask for the ID and, you know, where they
and
live.
Where to get off. You ask me for my ID, I'm going to tell you to mind your own business and go back to wherever you came from, drink some more of your Kool-Aid, and get out of my face.
Well, I don't know what any of that means. I guess what you're saying is you would refuse to even tell me your name?
Pardon me?
Is that what a gentleman's saying? You'd refuse to tell me your name. Is that a gentleman saying?
Y'all are just tripped out. I hope you don't receive your pay from public funding.
Well, I would say, sir, that if you did refuse to present any ID, we're very reluctant to have to tell you that we would have to, you know, zip tie your hands so that we could, you know, get some cooperation.
Oh,
wait a minute. How do you figure you're going to zip tie a guy's hands because he simply won't give you his ID? You're not a cop, Jay.
I have the power of citizens arrest in a constitution. Okay.
Whoopee doo. I'm a security officer. I've got the same powers you do, pal.
I already know what your name is.
On my sleeve, like I'm some type of egomaniac, like you are.
Well, what I would like for you to do is give the screener to the Phil Henry Show your last name, if you could, and where you live. So if you could give the screener your home phone number so I could call you up after the program and we discuss more.
I don't even want to talk to you. The people like you are so warped, it's not funny.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the Obama health care bill.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL. And praising the United States Senate, saying that the American people were well on their way to experiencing a tremendous difference for families, for seniors, for businesses, and for the country. President Barack Obama praised the U.S. Senate. And Jay Sanos joins us talking about Operation Neighborhood, where you and other members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police will be disseminating information on the new health care bill and what's in it and what it takes to get it passed. The thing that is troubling people that are calling is you requesting the IDs of people who are not in agreement.
You misspeak. We're not talking about...
I'm sorry, Jay, we clipped you. Say that again.
I think you misspeak. We're not talking about people who have questions. We got no problem with people that have questions. That's why we're going to be there in a variety of different malls this coming weekend. But you have to understand, I'm sure you do, as do many of your listeners, that the President of the United States has the toughest job in the world. There's no question that the President of the United States, you know, is the most powerful and has the toughest job that anyone's ever had. And for people to sit there and say, Obama's a communist or this kind of nonsense, that just gets in the way. It slows the process down, impedes, and otherwise, sort of gums up the works. And so that's when we will interdict the situation, ask people for their ID, you know, ask them, what were you talking about?
But you see, I don't know that you're within your legal rights. That's all I'm going to tell you.
I tell you, you heard the speech that President Obama gave the Civilian Security Force, and that's what we are. You know, we feel we've been empowered by the executive. And
empowered by the President of the United States to go and ask people what they're talking about.
No, I think you missed what I said.
All right, well, when you hear something suspect, to go and ask people what they're talking about.
Not suspect. If they're saying something that is patently wrong about it, and they say that Obama's a commie, or how you want to say about it, and Jeremiah Wright is, you know, coming over and having eggs Benedict in the morning over there. at the White House. All that is very patently false and damages the office of the presidency of the United States of America.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Going back to our telephones, we have in San Antonio, we have Brian on the line. Brian is a police officer in San Antonio. Brian, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos.
Yes, sir, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Well, I just wanted to make sure that the individual, I don't know his name, but I would like to make sure that he understands in the state of Texas, what he was doing would be considered a pretty close to a felony. You can't, as a citizen, hold on just a second. Let me finish it. They're letting you finish. Let me finish. If you arrest someone, number one, you have to have probable cause, and you have none. To ask someone what they're talking about, you don't have the right to do that, regardless of what you think or what you believe is correct. The Constitution says only a few things about a few things. The penal code in the state of Texas states that if you arrest someone and place them into custody, you just committed a felony. And if you, I can promise you, if you or your people come to Texas and you put someone into any type of constraint, I won't be arresting that person. I'll be arresting you and whoever's with you.
Brian, I've got to tell you, your name is Brian, correct? Brian, we do have an adjunct agency in Texas, the West Texas Range Riders. They are a volunteer force, and you've never encountered them?
They're called the what? The West Texas Range Riders?
Right, they're citizens of voluntary force, yeah. You've never encountered them, sir?
No, I haven't, as a matter of fact. But
all right, well,
my thing is, my question is, one thing I'll ask you, then I've got to go.
There was a police officer in Washington, D.C. today. There was a police officer in Washington, D.C. today who pulled his gun. Well, hold on for a minute.
Does anything about a police or auxiliary police?
If you,
what type of training do you get
can
as far as...
Can the gentleman hear me, Phil?
Well,
hold on.
What do they give you?
There was a police officer in Washington, D.C. today that pulled his gun on a guy that threw a snowball at him. Now, that may seem extreme, and yet he was within his legal right to do that, and that's all I'm talking about. If somebody's lobbing a snowball at President Obama, don't you want to pull your gun or do something to protect him? That's what I'm talking about.
Well,
did you hear him, Brian?
Someone into a constraint because you believe that they're doing something or saying something in the United States that says that is against the president. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the way I see it is if you don't question your government, then you're just as dumb as anybody is another Iraqi or anyone else who lives in fear every day. I question my government because I have that
you
right.
You hire police officers. Our job is just to enforce a law. And President Obama said the civilian security force.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys can hear each other. We've had a phone problem.
Yeah, I promise you, if you try to put
me in here, I'm fine. You have to get your phone system together, Henry.
Keep following.
Could you say that again, Brian? Because Jay was giving me a hard time about our phone system. Say that again.
The issue is,
like I said, you can't hold someone in constraint because you don't like what they say or that they question their government. You can't do that. And I mean,
if they out and out damage the credibility of the presidency of America when they say that Obama is full of hot air, I got to take a peek at that. That takes it to the next level.
What do you mean? When somebody's to sit having breakfast and says, I think Obama's full of hot air, you got to take it to the next level.
What I'm saying is, if they're lying about it, that's all I'm saying.
Well,
I'm sure the gentleman understands. It is president.
The problem is that I deal with liars every day, brother, and I can promise you they lie to me every single day, and you think I can arrest them for that? And I promise
you
I have a lot of them
down. You don't take them down? You should take them down for that.
Oh, I wish I could. Unfortunately, the Constitution and the Penal Code doesn't allow me to do that because I live in, the United States.
Well,
but we have
you
laws
zip ties?
To protect you against people like bad cops and bad people
you
like yourself.
You do carry zip ties. Well, sir, I'm trying to help our country.
Well, this is interesting, Jake. This gentleman is a sworn officer of the law.
But he did say he's in Texas right there. That's a whole different kettle of fish. I'm in California.
A police officer from California can tell us. Brian, I gotta move on to another call. Brian, I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. I thank you very much. He's a police officer in San Antonio. Tommy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, he says he's a police officer, but he's obviously, he didn't say anything to me about the zip ties.
Go ahead, Tommy. You're on the air.
Hi, Phil. How's it going?
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen,
good.
I was telling you, Strainer, I don't think there's anyone in this country that knows this health care bill from page one to page, what was it, 3019. And this fellow here, I mean, is he the only guy in the country that knows every provision, every stipulation, every clause, every exemption? Because if he does, then...
Well, we are familiar with certain things in it. One of them is people say there's a death panel where they're going to gas
well,
a lady.
One of them.
Oh, you know, full well.
That's not going to happen. I mean, everybody knows the highlights. But, I mean, how can you determine if someone is disseminating information that may be false or true if you yourself do not know it from top to bottom, inside and outside?
Obviously we do carry a copy of the bill with us. If we hear a conversation...
We will go through the bill, but I don't know it from front to back. Do you know it?
No, but we have a computer. We have
then
a computer.
How?
We are online and wireless, and we look at the bill. And if we hear someone say that they're getting ready to gas old women in Wisconsin or whatever, we can check and see. Okay, that's not in the bill. If they're saying, Obama is a commie, well, that's right there. That's a red flag, and so I got to go to level two on that. That's when we zip tie and ask for ID.
I'd like to see you do that in Alabama. I really would. I don't know how to do
that.
At worst case, that's false imprisonment, and at best, it's assault and battery. Do that at your own peril. And if that's how things are going on in California, why don't y'all just go ahead and secede and get away from the rest of the country here that we're trying to live?
We're not the ones talking about seceding. You were. Alabama wanted to secede. We didn't.
It
wasn't Alabama. It was Texas that wanted to secede.
It was one of those states.
If it means getting away from the kind of people y'all in California, then so be it.
What difference is it
making?
All states are the same.
I understand that, but that's for
exactly.
There's no difference between
Alabama and California.
That's a crutch. Excuse me.
Can you gentlemen hear me? Yeah, I said there's no difference between Alabama and California. Everybody's the same, And if I go up to you, say you're in Alabama or whatever they got there, and I say, I forget the gentleman's name that we're talking with right now.
His name is Tommy.
All right, I say Tommy.
You just said that Obama was born in a boring world, and God certainly did not make everyone the same, and I hope you understand that. But even if we were what a boring world this would be. And as far as, I don't think there's a law anywhere in the Constitution that says we have to like the president.
There is no law, but you do have to tell the truth about him. You can't say that Obama's a lying sack of doo-doo. If you said Obama's a lying sack of, doo-doo.
That's why I live in the United States.
All right, well, let's take a break. 877. Thank you very much, Tommy. Great call. 877-876. The Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
I said, this guy Obama is going to piss off more Democrats than he's ever going to make angry on the Republican side. You may not like him because he's black. You may not like him because he comes from a liberal pedigree. What other way is a black guy going to get elected president of the United States than by joining the Democratic Party? That's the only way this guy was ever going to make it to the White House. Republicans weren't going to nominate him in a million years.
Show.
877-876-PHIL. I'm always giving out part of the number. 877-876-PHIL. President Obama's health care bill, the health care bill sponsored by many in the Senate, opposed by many in the United States Congress, is moving along. And we have Jay Santos with us. And you can understand Jay is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. When you say that you're with the civilian security force that President Obama talked about, he didn't officially start any civilian security force.
I don't know where you're getting your information. I heard him very clearly say, I want to do this, and that is the executive power of the President of the United States. And I don't know too many people are more powerful. In fact, there's nobody more powerful than that.
But he didn't specifically empower volunteer groups to go out and zip-tie people's hands. And that's what I'm talking about.
Well, the president specifically authorized my organization. Look, if I ask for an I don't know what you're getting at, but if I ask, if I say to someone, what you're saying is clearly false about the bill that is in the Constitution, or not the bill that's in the Constitution, the bill's in the Senate, then I don't get a chance. You're saying I don't get to say anything about that? Of course I do.
And you can say something if you want, and somebody has the right to say, you know, someone has the right to tell you to butt out, and somebody also has the right to say, no, I don't want to tell you anything.
All we're doing is we're asking for their ID. You're saying we want to take a quick peek at your, a quick peek at your ID, and we'll be on our way. And with a tip of the cap, we're on our way. And
it doesn't, well, 877-876-PHIL. That doesn't add up, that citizen's arrest power, too. Here is Rossi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Rossi, go ahead with Jay Santos.
My question for Jay is, who commissioned you the power of a Gestapo to question people, what they think and what they say, and request ID? Only a police officer has the authorization to request somebody's ID.
I understand that, but we're just asking to take a quick peek at it, and we're not asking what they're thinking.
For what purpose?
We just want to take a peek.
For what purpose?
We want to take a peek at what their name is, you know, and why they're there.
And
what has that got to do with anything?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do with the information on my driver's license? You going to write it down?
First of all, if you have information that someone is purposely spreading a lot of nonsense, you have a duty as a law enforcement officer, or I mean,
you're not a law enforcement
way a police officer is. Well, I am a member of civilian security force President Obama talked about.
But he didn't officially constitute that.
You did not go to a police academy and graduate from a police academy. Therefore, you were acting as a Gestapo.
Major Elvis Newton trained us, and we are fully trained in you know, level 2, 3, and 4.
I served the military for the United States of America in the Army. Therefore, does that give me the right to question you?
You're not a cop. You're a soldier, and that doesn't fall under police duties.
I'm a civilian.
Okay, you're an army guy. You go over and kill, you know, Taliban or something like that.
When I raised my right hand, I swore an oath that I will defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The way you are acting, you are a domestic enemy.
You need to then now, you should be involved in Operation Neighborhood and start finding out what people are. You know, you take a table next to someone's table. You're not doing anything other than leaning in and listening. And
let me ask you something about this leaning in. You're having a meal and you're leaning in.
You make it evident to the people at the other table that you are listening, but you're still paying attention to your sandwich or your salad or whatever you got. But you're leaning a little bit.
Well, they're gonna know you're listening to them.
Well, if they take exception to that, I simply say to them, you know, if everything's good, you know. Just keep talking, no problem.
If I was sitting next to you at a table and President Clinton was still in office and I said Clinton's nothing but a white man liar because he said he never smoked dope, what are you gonna do to that?
I introduced myself and said I'm Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, this is Subcommander Newton. And, you know, we just want to take a quick peek at your ID, and we'll be on our way. I'll tip of the cap, and we'll be on our way. That's all I would say.
And what if he refuses?
Well, then we would say we want to get one of your fingerprints. And if he refuses then I just grab a piece of silverware because his fingerprints are going to be all over it.
You're going to request my fingerprint?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Fingerprints unless you're under arrest.
Well, this would come up on database if they have a national database.
I know they have a database. So here's a guy that you say, oh, wow, I want your fingerprint. I don't want to give it to you. So you grab a piece of silverware, you dust it for the guy's print, and you send it into the national database.
If he comes back clean, everything's good. But if he's given his fingerprint someplace, we got a problem.
He was in the Army.
Yeah.
They give their fingerprints there.
Well, we'd have to follow up with a phone call in or some kind of a visit. But the point that I'm trying to make here, I think you guys are way off base on this. All we're doing is asking to take a quick peek. What?
Two more quick questions, and then I'll let somebody else
two
get
on. Two more quick questions? Two more? That'd be, what, another half hour?
Don't worry about it, Jay.
I ask for people to call in who know of anybody that's
Would you do the same thing if there was a Republican, a conservative Republican in office?
Sure, I don't deal with hypothetical.
Thank you.
Everything
Thank
like
you.
That.
Yeah.
Right.
You're a Gestapo.
No, you didn't prove any point. You didn't prove no point
thanks,
at all.
Thanks for having me on.
I don't deal.
All right, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your call. There's a very interesting problem here, Jake.
Yeah, I just heard that guy call me I don't want to use the word a-hole. He just said that.
No, he didn't.
I just heard it.
The problem that we're having is that you are not clearly articulating the rights, the authority that you have to grab a piece of silverware and pull somebody's fingerprint off of it if they refuse to give you their ID. Here is Andy in Hagerstown, Pennsylvania. Andy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
First thing I'd like to say about the last caller is soldiers cannot arrest people under habeas corpus. That's why soldiers aren't going around arresting people. The next thing I want to know is, did you get a little red book when Obama instated you to arrest people in this country? Because it sounds awful Hitlerian.
Is he talking to you?
He's talking to you.
Did I get a little red book? That was Mao. That wasn't Hitler, sir. You got the wrong dictator.
No, they both did the same thing. Hitler had a little red book. And then Mao had his little red book, and he sent his people out with his little red book and cleansed the older people. What'd you say?
I said you blew it. Hitler didn't have a red book.
I know. I said Mao. They both had their own views.
You blew it with me. No, you...
Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL.
He blew it.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I know exactly how that feels. Like the other day.
The way I conducted the interview has been called many things, but I'll sum it up.
Senator. Hi. You're just on the floor, correct?
Yeah, what's a gay what?
You know how many people like guns and dip?
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show where reality is our bitch and where the looking glass of current events and news it gets stepped through each and every night on this program. The Alice in Wonderland of talk radio. And on this show, we tell you as much about yourselves as we tell you about the news. We have with us on the line Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, which is a... It is a volunteer, public service-minded security force, grown out of a neighborhood watch situation. Citizens Auxiliary Police is in Southern California. They have other groups around the country. And Jay has told us that he feels empowered by the president's speech on the civilian security force in Denver last year to basically go out and ask people what they know about the health care bill. All right, Jay, what do you think?
Well, I mean, in light of the things that we've been talking about the last hour, where I have said to you very clearly, we don't have any dog in this fight, Phil. We are simply here as Citizens Auxiliary Police, a civilian security force, to make sure that the country you know, and our society and our streets are safe. And how do you have safe streets? How do you have safe neighborhoods? How do you have safe schools? How can a grandmother or a child walk down a street and feel safe when you have people sitting in restaurants and bistros and going into movie lines and wherever people gather, and they're saying things like this Parkman gentleman was just saying, that Obama's mother is going to die and the insurance is a gangster enterprise. How do you feel safe in a society like that? So what we do is...
I don't see the connection.
Well, you don't see the connection between a guy saying that President Obama's mother is going to be... She would have died if she had the health care that he has right now. I mean, that makes people... People are going to go out and spread that, and they're going to spread it everywhere. And just like swine flu or, you know, anything that you get on your hand and it makes a rash on your mouth or something, that's going to spread. It's going to spread. And that's where we have to step in and basically ask people, you know, to stop talking in a way that slanders the President of the United States. Otherwise, we don't have any respect for law and order, and we don't have respect for President. And what I've told people is we'll ask you to spread. We will ask you to present ID. And at that time, if it all checks out, we're able to dust for a print off of the silverware you're using. We send it to the national database of the fingerprint, you know, of the fingerprint organization or wherever they have it. And when everything checks out, it's the tip of my pith helmet to you, and we'll be all away.
What do you mean you ask them to spread? What does that mean?
Well, that's a standard pat down. You spread. We find where your ID is. All we're asking for people...
No, wait a minute. You're asking people for their ID.
That is correct, yes.
And if they don't give you your ID, their ID, then you pat them down?
Well, we basically say spread, and we will then pat down, yeah, for the ID. If they refuse to spread, that's when we'll go for a piece of silver or glass. But, you see, I think people think that we're like a Gestapo or some kind of fantasy Hollywood movie. It's funny how people just think of Hollywood movies. All we're doing, it's very, very benign, is saying, you know, what you just said there, you know, it's none of my business, but what you just said there, that Obama's health care plan is going to pay for Mexicans, that's wrong. Okay, so if you could show me your ID, if not, spread, I'll go ahead and look for it myself. If not, not a problem, I'll just get one of the water glasses that the waitress had.
Boy, just because a guy said that, what if he's wrong? What if the guy didn't know? What if he's wrong?
Well, I mean, we're correcting. We'll say what you just said there is a lie, and here's the health care plan. Now, if they still want to debate the issue, well, we got to take it up a notch at that point. It's about saving lives, Phil. That's all it is, and that's why I got in law enforcement. A lot of other guys do, too.
877-876-PHIL. Boy, I got a hard time figuring how that helps save lives when you when someone says they believe Obama's health care plan is going to ensure illegal immigrants. Here is Rocky in Louisville, Kentucky. Rocky, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, how's it going tonight?
It's good, thank you.
Good. I've got a few questions here. Now, let's just say, for instance, that you guessed that I failed to catch his name there.
What's that, sir?
Jay Santos.
My name's Jay.
Okay, Jay.
What's your name? Your name's Rocky, huh?
Yes. Okay, now let's say that you... Yes, sir. Now let's say that you overhear me in a restaurant.
Is that short? I was wondering if that's short for a name or something.
No, his name's Rocky. Let's just move on. Yeah.
Right now. Rocky will do.
All right.
So let's say you overhear me in a restaurant. And, I don't want to give you my ID, and I don't want to let you fingerprint me, and I don't want to let you pat me down. Is in my legal constitutional right. And you zip tie me.
Well,
where are you going to take me? Where are you going to take me?
Well,
you zip tie me?
Well, at that point, then we pat you down for your ID, and we're able to extract it at that time. And then, you know, with a tip of the hat, we're on our way.
Okay. All right. Now the zip tie part, this has got me intrigued. Where are you going to take me after you zip tie me? Are you going to take me to a police department?
I guess the gentleman didn't hear me. I said that we would then pat you down and take a look at your ID, take a peek at it, and, you know, then put it back in your wallet.
So then you're not taking him anywhere?
No, I'm not going to take him. Where am I going to take it? I'm simply, all I'm asking for is his name and, you know, certain basic information. And, of course, if we do find out you have a phony ID or, you know, fake driver's license, some deal like that,
Well, now we got to take it up another notch.
Okay, another notch. How many notches do you have?
I don't know. How many do you got?
The hell kind of question
All right.
is that?
Well, okay. Anyway, Rocky, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Inez. Inez, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead.
What's that guy talking about? You know, by the way, I wanted to remind you of that song, Rocky Raccoon.
Yeah, that's fine. Inez, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Yeah.
If Jay will let me talk, I am a nurse. I'm
yes, ma'am.
66
yes,
years
I just want
old.
To know, you ever heard that song, Rocky Raccoon? The last guy's name was Rocky.
Listen, will you shut up?
Well, ma'am, I'm not being rude to you. I just want
well,
to know
you
if you
are
heard Rocky
being
Raccoon.
Rude.
Forget about Rocky Raccoon. What are you talking about?
The Beatles song, Rocky Raccoon, reminded me of the last guy I was talking to. That's all.
Okay, go ahead, Inez.
I'm 66 years old.
I
if I was sitting in
now.
A restaurant having a private conversation and this idiot came up to me trying to fingerprint me, I would try to kick his butt all over that restaurant. And if I've ever had any doubts about this administration, it's idiots like this man that makes me wonder what's going on. Why have you not been arrested and put under a jail?
Man, all I would ask you to do is spread.
Well,
and
if you
spread,
ask me to spread, you're going to get that fork right up your hiney. I can tell you that. You want to fingerprint that?
Well, man, we're trained in techniques, so you're not going to, you know, try
no,
to protect your offspring.
No, you're
as
not
much
trained to do anything. You wouldn't lay
I would
a hand on a private citizen. Did you not know that
absolutely.
Personal
absolutely.
Privacy is the most important thing in this country?
It very much is, unless you're talking about the health care bill, which slanders the presidency. That's the, you know, the dignity of the presidency, in which case we do have to take it to another level.
Listen,
but all I'm
man.
Asking you to do is spread it. Yeah. Well, what is
you
your
not,
problem with spreading?
Do you believe,
why don't you want to?
Because I'm a 66-year-old woman. If you ask me to spread it, I would take that
fork ma'am, I'm
and
not,
poke
excuse
it up
me,
your butt.
But, you know, no, ma'am, I'm not talking about something salacious. I'm saying spread so we can pat you down.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who's
patting
down this woman?
Anybody down.
No, we are trained, believe me when I tell you, we are trained to do a pat down on a female that is totally respectful.
Is there a female officer with you? Is there a female officer with you?
We do not allow females because of the nature of our work.
Oh, so you got men patting down a 66-year-old woman? It's not going to happen.
Phil, as I said, we asked her to spread. We do a very light, it's called a light pat down.
What? First of all, why are you patting her down? Most women don't carry their ID on them. They carry it in a purse.
All the better. Then she doesn't have to spread.
Listen, I hate to inform
you
of this, but if you think for 1 minute Obama's not lying through his teeth when he says this health care bill is not going to cost us a dime.
Right, you're stepping over the line right there,
do
ma'am.
You live on? You step
right over
the line when you say you're going to pat
right
down a private citizen having a private conversation. Who do you think you are?
I'm simply saying, ma'am, would you mind spreading?
You've already said that.
I certainly would, ma'am. What would you think a woman would tell you when she says, keep your hands off me?
Okay, I've got to check for ID only because you have said some things that are not true about the health care, and you called Obama,
listen,
you know, the N-word, which we don't like.
I did
and
not.
She didn't use the N-word. She didn't say that at all.
Well, I'm anticipating that she would, because that's usually where it goes.
Oh, come on, man. That, you know, Jay, it's one thing for you to inform people about the health care bill. It's another thing entirely to start interrupting their conversations if they're not saying anything that you agree with.
It's not about me agreeing. It's about if it's true or not. If the lady is saying that the Obama health care bill is going to gas cripples or however they want to do it, I got to drop the flag on that, and I got to take it to level two.
You
That's
know
all I'm
what?
Saying to the lady.
You
yes, ma'am?
Need to be in a loony bin. You're crazy. This is America. This is not Chavez's country. This country belongs to free people.
Of course it does, ma'am. Boy,
so
I heard
what
for
are
you to
what
say that I belong
business,
in a nut bin.
What business do
what,
you have butting into a private conversation?
I had started our conversation, yours and mine, out asking you about Rocky Raccoon because I wanted to start it out with a light, you know, with a light touch.
Well,
take, you know, that's
And what you did is you took it all the way. Now you want me to be locked up in a padded cell simply because I'm doing my job, ask you to spread. And
you know what, Jay, if you had any kind of sense, you'd say to this lady, ma'am, here's a flyer on the health care bill, some things you may not know about. Have a very good day.
Well, that's basically what little kids do when they're going out and collecting cans for pagan people and stuff. We don't do that. We have to have some enforcement clout.
Anyway, and as I understand what you're saying, I appreciate your call very much. Thank you, huh?
Thank you.
And have a good evening. Thank you. There's Inez. You know, it's...
No, I tried to start out on a very kind... I said Rocky Raccoon. And
I know about Rocky Raccoon. That was the guy that called in, the man who had the name Rocky.
No, but the point that I'm making to you is the following thing. That man, Rocky, called in, and I wanted to try... This is what we do in the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And I will try to find some common ground. Rocky Raccoon went into the saloon... And if you know about the song, right? And
but, Jay, I want to get into a break.
Now hold on for a minute. I want to give you the idea of what we do in our enforcement so that we do disarm people and they do not feel as violated as a lot of these people talk about. If a man comes in and says, what's your name, sir? My name's Rocky. Rocky Raccoon came into the saloon only to find Gideon's Bible, doo-doo-doo. And we'll hum that, and he's disarmed, and, you know, go ahead and spread it. And they spread... because they're not threatened by us. That's the point I'm trying to make.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to come back with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the Obama health care bill and what he and his Citizens Auxiliary Police are doing if you happen to get something wrong about the bill or publicly utter some disagreement with it. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous. This is very... It's either dangerous or it's... something else. 877-876 Phil, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil
Henry.
Let me be as clear as I possibly can. There is no reason in the world we live in today, just as there was no reason in the world that people lived in 100 years ago, not to have a gun in the house, not to know how to use it, not to be as proficient as you can in the use of that weapon, not to know how to use it. No, there's no reason at all why people everywhere shouldn't own guns. Guns have been effectively elevated to the level of a black magic talisman that draw evil spirits. Well, that's not the case. I'm here to tell you folks, you'll be happy to know, that a gun is a collection of components and parts that does a certain thing if it's operated properly. To wit, if somebody's crawling through a bedroom window, you can blow their freaking head off with it. How about that? But you're made to feel ashamed, you're made to feel like you're a criminal, and let's not forget you're a right-wing gun nut. If you ask, may I exercise my constitutional right and own a gun? Yeah, nursing homes ought to have them, schools ought to have them, malls ought to have them, homes should have them, conceal and carry should be allowed on campuses. Oh yeah. And this other argument that is about as feckless as it gets, which is the following. If everybody has a gun, it'll be a Wild West show. So what you're saying then, in other words, is you're affirming the superstition that the gun creates some voodoo that makes the person want to be violent. Is that it? So are we back now to video games create violence? Phil. Hey, you know what? This is the holiday gift-giving time, so what better gift to give the Phil fan in your house, or maybe to yourself, than a backstage pass to our website, the Phil Henry website, $6.95 a month. It's El Cheapo Reno, baby, for 6 months, and for a year, I think it's around $54.95. So it's a beautiful thing. Get a Christmas gift for the Phil fan in your house by giving them a subscription to the Phil Henry website. We have hours and hours of quality radio there, archives, live video streaming, live audio streaming. The shows on audio are downloadable each and every day, the day after the show, so you are never without our show. And like I say, we keep a five-day archive on our video, too. PhilHenryShow.com. Pick up a backstage pass for Christmas for yourself or someone in the family. 877-876-PHIL. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is on the line with us. And we want to get in as many phone calls as we can this hour. We have Kevin in Tri-Cities, Washington. Kevin, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Jay, are you there?
I'm right here, yeah.
I'm good, sir. Thank you.
I don't understand. We're in the Constitution. He has been given the right to detain people. To
Citizens arrest.
Well, then that means I can put citizens arrest on you for touching me.
No,
because
I don't think
the,
that, because
Constitution
we are part of
gives me the right to free assembly,
civilian force.
Right to free speech. It gives
right.
me
exactly.
basically
exactly.
I can stand in the middle of public downtown New York if I wanted to, and say anything I wanted to say. And by
not if you created a disturbance.
You
no, you couldn't. But not if you created a disturbance. No, you could. No, you could not. Not if you created a disturbance. Then that's, you know, that's disturbing the peace. And
that's
then
no different
will,
than the guy playing his guitar on the subway, asking for change.
If there's somebody
same
complaining
thing.
About it, then the police have to, you know, interdict that situation. If
right.
you're standing in
right.
Times Square and you're
if
talking
you're speaking
a bunch
the truth,
of you know, stuff nonsense, then we
it.
Would have
you're,
to
you're,
obviously
you're creating a lie. You're,
well, no,
you're,
I'm not
you're,
creating
well,
a lie. You're, see, that's the thing.
You are
creating a lie by talking stuff about the health care bill isn't true. That's when we would go up.
I haven't said anything
say,
about the health care bill.
We need,
I just
well,
said something
I'm
about
not,
you.
I'm not interested. Then I'm not interested.
Then I tell you what.
But what are you paranoid?
The Constitution
why are
you, gives
you why
no
are you
right
paranoid?
To even do anything.
If I'm not,
we
if
are
you're
free
not
people.
Saying anything about the health care bill, you can go on your way, and I won't
oh,
bother you.
Oh, that's not what you said earlier.
No, that's exactly what I said.
Obama was a communist. You said
well, that's not true.
Thinking.
Yeah, it's about the health care. That's about the health care bill. And
no,
so
said
that
somebody,
is not true.
Obama was a terrorist.
Well, the point
or
is,
a communist
about it.
Or KGB.
I'm not arguing about it. You are.
I'm not arguing.
Creating a disturbance,
might,
and therefore you would be forced to spread.
What is
I
this forced to
what,
spread?
I'll
you're talking about that
notch.
You. The, you know, you're talking, Jay, about forced to spread. Are you talking about asking for an ID?
Asking for ID, that's correct, yeah.
You won't get it from me.
Step it up. You just step it up a notch. I mean, I've got two sub-commanders with me.
I don't
it,
care.
I don't think you'd be any problem. You wouldn't be any problem.
I don't care. I don't either.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad
you know
you don't
what I'm
care.
Saying
It'll
is
make it easy.
The Constitution gives me the right to say what I want to say, where
no,
I want to say it.
No, it doesn't.
And it doesn't give you the right to...
No, you can't say fire in a crowded theater. You can't utter slander. You can't utter libel. There are limits to free speech. And
there
are,
there are free speech is free speech.
Yeah, I think you need to go back and read the Constitution one more time, because I think...
Hey, I read it in the second grade,
so
the third
far.
Grade, the fourth grade, the fifth grade, yeah. sixth grade, seventh grade,
I don't think
eighth
so.
Grade, ninth
you
grade.
You can name...
All right, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We're here with Jay Sanis of Citizens Auxiliary Police talking about... I don't know what we're talking about, to be honest with you.
But we're talking about the health care bill.
Yeah, we're talking about the health care bill, whatever that has to do with you telling people that they can't talk smack. We got to take a break. Hold the line there, Neil, who I just put on the line. So you hold on. Jay, you hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Take it to the next level.
That guy tries to go to level two on me. I take it to level three.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What do you mean world famous?
Phil Hendry.
I never heard of it.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry here with Jay Sanis, Citizens Auxiliary Police. That should not figure into a health care bill, though, Jay.
Well, Phil, let me say one thing that I think people are forgetting about.
But the health care bill that we're debating in this country should have nothing to do with law enforcement.
It does have something to do with law enforcement. If you tell another person publicly within earshot of a restaurant full of people that the Obama health care bill has death panels that are going to gas and then burn and then sprinkle ashes everywhere of old ladies or old people, if you will, and that causes someone to feel panicked and want to run home and possibly take their, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but take their grandparents into hiding somewhere, that's going to cause a public panic, which is totally unnecessary. Now, let me tell you something. The only people that are afraid of being wiretapped are criminals, and people, what are doing, you know, what are doing wrong, doing the wrong, doing, you know,
breaking the law.
Breaking the law. That's the only ones. And no one should be afraid when they see the blue armband and the pith helmet and the wingtips and our uniform. No one should be afraid of Citizens Auxiliary Police about saving lives. It's not about controlling people's lives. Want to give information?
When you tell a woman of 66 she's got a spread, if she doesn't give you her ID, and if she doesn't, you're taking a fingerprint off of silverware or a glass because they happen to say something that you think is wrong.
No, we have the health care bill in front of us.
Doesn't matter. What are you taking fingerprints for?
I think you're blowing it way out of proportion in terms of what we're here to. As President Obama said about the Civilian Defense Force.
And that's another thing. He didn't create any Civilian Defense Force. He said that was something he'd like to see. He didn't create it.
You have a hard time proving that in a court of law.
You got a hard time proving in a court of law.
Bill, he said in a speech in Denver, Colorado.
I heard the speech. I heard what he said. He wasn't talking about a police force. He was talking about a volunteer force of people who were going to, you know, volunteer at embassies, a variety of things. Here is Rick in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Rick, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, sir.
I don't know who this guy really thinks he is, but in Kentucky, if he comes to me and asks for my ID,
here we go.
I'm not going to give him my ID, and if he wants to take it up a notch, we can take it up several notches, because I not only believe in the free speech, I believe in the Second Amendment. Because he's going to be looking down for all the guns.
Are you telling me you're carrying a gun into a restaurant? What are you, paranoid?
Yes, I carry a gun everywhere I go. And so does about
concealed
everybody
permit,
I know around
here. You got a concealed weapon permit?
Yes, I do.
What's your last name, sir?
Don't tell him your last name, sir.
My last name? Or you think I'm stupid?
That shows that you're scared of me and you recognize my authority.
No. So what it shows is I'm on public radio, and I'm not going to give out a lot of information.
He's not giving out personal information, okay?
No. All right, but the point is, you are definitely concealing something, and that would put you on my level one list.
Well, you might have
level one list
top of my list, and you probably should put just about everybody I know, because free speech says that I can say anything I want. And the Second Amendment says that I can defend myself if someone comes at me.
Well, Bill, I'm free of law. People don't know that free speech does not extend to yelling fire in a crowded theater. You know that, sir, right? Can't yell fire in a crowded theater, right?
Did I yell fire?
You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. Are you aware of that? You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater.
Free speech in a public restaurant talking about the health care.
Exactly, it's the same thing.
How's that the same thing?
If you say in a restaurant, okay, just follow my logic here, sir. If you say in a restaurant that Obama's health care bill is going to cook old ladies alive in an oven, you don't think that's going to cause panic among the citizenry and people going to, you know, react in a way that's going to be negative?
I don't know what world you live in.
Are you crazy or something? I've never even heard anybody say anything like that.
I heard it on TV the other day. A guy said they're going to gas all the old women.
I would not say anything like that, first of all, but I would damn the health care bill all day long.
Okay. Would you say that Obama is a commie?
Would I say what?
Obama's a communist.
No. He's a socialist.
Okay, good. Good. All right. And you and I got no problem. So what are you worried about?
Well, wait. Hold on for a minute. You said that you would talk to people.
Well, of course you're worried. You don't want to give me your last name. You're being very secretive.
All right, look. You said that people, you would go up to people and correct them?
Of course I would. If I'm listening in, and this guy is listening, you know, he's sitting there with his friends, and they're talking a lot of stuff that isn't true about the health care bill, then I would go over and I'd say, excuse me, gentlemen, but you're wrong about that, and here's a copy of the health care bill, and, you know, it's just a warning, that's all.
That's different from what you said you would come at me and ask me for my ID and ask me to spread them.
If you were talking about Obama being a commie, yeah. Now, I'm giving you a warning, you know.
What does that mean, a warning?
I'm giving you a warning, saying, get it. The next time I hear you talk about the health care bill, I don't want to hear you lying about it.
I would warn you to back off. And you might also back off quickly.
I can't do that as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You need to spread or get zip tied.
I don't.
Now, I know you have
so
a gun.
Because
I know you have a gun, but I'm very experienced in what we call a three-step takedown.
And you know what?
Able to take you.
Let me tell you
behind
something.
You, and I push you over the guy that's kneeling behind you.
Let me tell you
that's
something.
Pretty easy.
With the people that I would be with, you would be looking down the barrel of several guns. Because I'm also experienced with those people that I would be around.
Well, I think you're pretty quick to pull a gun on a guy. You don't know anything about me. You don't know if I could maneuver. I could take that gun away from you. What do you think about that?
Oh, come on. Look, gentlemen. I don't want to get into this conversation.
So, but I'm not going to get into this kind
this
of a
is,
conversation.
You know,
but I don't
exactly.
think you can do that.
Because you don't want to, like Al Pacino said to the guy in that, he says, you know, some guys will take a gun away from you and bury it up your you-know-what, you know. And you don't want that to happen, do you?
Okay, I'm not interested in this conversation. We're talking about the legality of whether you can get somebody's ID and whether or not you have the right to ask people for their ID, regardless of what they're talking about.
It's probable cause.
I'm a brigadier admiral.
Exactly. I thank you for your call, Rick. I appreciate it very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. What did you say? I'm sorry, Jay.
I said I'm a brigadier admiral in the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Major Elvis Newton.
You're a brigadier?
Brigadier Admiral, sir.
A brigadier admiral?
Mr. Henry, I'm not here to debate the rank and the codification of our non-commissioned officer or commissioned officer. Major Elvis Newton.
How is it that a major runs your Citizens Auxiliary Police, but you're an...
I didn't hear if you're laughing...
Of course I'm laughing. Of course I'm laughing. A major runs it. You're a brigadier admiral.
Mr. Henry, in this country today, we have a security situation with Al-Qaeda and terrorism and everything. No.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about the health care bill that you say you're going to go and tell people they can't talk smack about this, that, or something else. Otherwise, you're going to bring level two or whatever that is.
No, I said spread.
Okay, spread. And you're a brigadier admiral.
I don't make fun of your name or what you do. Are you a talk show host?
Yes, sometimes.
All right, well, sometimes I'm a brigadier admiral. You don't hear me going, ha, ha, what are you, talk show host? Ha, 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 ha. You didn't hear me that, do you?
What?
You didn't hear me say what I'm talking about.
I can't understand you, sir. I got to get to a phone call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Neil in Pennsylvania. Neil, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
I'm good.
I'm here to show respect to people and show respect to me, that's all.
All right. With this guy patting people down, I know if I would walk up to somebody and ask them for their ID or something and then, you know, go to pat them down, that'd be sexual harassment.
On a guy? You gotta be kidding me.
On a guy, on a girl, anybody. That's sexual harassment if you just walk up to somebody and start feeling them.
Who said we're feeling them? I mean, maybe you get your cookies that way, but I...
No. The gentleman is saying, since you're not an official cop...
Wait a minute. That's the difference. This gentleman, if you're just walking up wearing jeans and a hoodie, and you start, you know, rubbing somebody, of course. But I've got a blue armband, duly, you know, recognizable.
Okay, well, then that's my next question. You said about that guy being lying about the health care plan and everything else. Okay, how do we know that you're not lying about who you are and what your identity is just to be able to do what you want to do?
Because I'm uniformed. I have a uniform on. We have our...
Anybody can go buy a uniform, sir.
I use my wife's Suburban, but we do have a magnet sign. I have business cards as well.
Anybody can go buy a Suburban.
Okay, well, how do you know a police officer that pulls you over is a real one? See? Anybody can paint
Sometimes
a car black and white.
Oh, come on.
Sometimes they're not.
What?
There
was
a case a year or two ago of people going around arresting people and harassing them in a police
but
car.
That doesn't mean you're not going to pull over for the police, does it? Of course not.
But you're going to be cautious about it.
You're putting your you-know-what in your hands, but you got to do it. All I say is spread. Let's get this over with. This is any more pleasant for me than it is for you. You think I want to spread you? I don't want to do that. I want to... Move on.
Then why are you?
Get some ice cream. What?
Why are you doing it? If you don't want to do it, why are you?
Because I want to make sure that the security of our country is secured if people are going around saying the Obama health care plan is going to allow billions of Mexicans to come in and just, you know, do whatever they want to do, that's, you know, I got to stop that. I got to stop it now.
What the hell are you talking? What do you mean, you know, the Obama health care plan, there's a lot of misinformation about all kinds of things in this society, Jay. I haven't seen it cause a public disturbance. In fact, the stuff about Mexicans getting health insurance or illegals, that hasn't caused a disturbance.
Oh, you don't think it's caused a disturbance? I got people in my neighborhood that are, you know, sandbagging their house because they're worried about not getting health insurance or something. I don't know.
Why would? Yeah, that's what I mean. All right. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
Wait, but this guy's laughing. I want to know why he's laughing. Why are you laughing at?
You're saying about sandbagging houses and stuff, and that's just...
You know that there's a lot of people... I don't know where you live, but we've got a problem with illegal immigration that is coming over the border. You know about that, don't you? And I got neighbors in my house. I got my neighborhood that people are sandbagging, waiting for this flood from Chihuahua or whatever you want to call it.
Are any of those illegals?
Oh boy, you know. what'd you say? I didn't hear.
He's laughing. Have a good day, Phil.
You don't live in California. You live in Pennsylvania. The only illegals you get over there are like Albanians or something. And he probably didn't care.
Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-877-876-PHIL. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. On the Obama health care bill, and if you don't get it right, if you're spreading misinformation about the bill, if you're saying Obama's a communist, if you're saying that the health care bill has death panels in it, if you're saying that the health care bill is going to allow illegal immigrants to get insurance, then Jay will walk over to you in the restaurant or wherever you are, and he will ask you for your ID after he asks you to spread. And then he will tell you, you know, stop talking all this garbage and tip of the helmet and he's on his way. The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. 877-876-PHIL. Back with the final segment here. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I know it seems ridiculous, but I got a job to do.
What?
I said I got a job to do.
You got a job to do?
You have a job to hunt?
Phil Henry.
877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show on every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the groundbreaking Phil Henry Show, and we're with you here with a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We take you through the looking glass. On the line with us here is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, located in Southern California, and they see the health care bill as a law enforcement matter that if people repeat information that isn't in the bill or they try to scare people about the bill, that it's a law enforcement issue. And you've yet to make the case, Mr. Santos, that you have the constitutional right to pat people down, make them spread, get their fingerprints, get their ID, or zip tie them because they said Obama's health care bill stinks.
Well, you have yet to make the case that I don't have the right to wear a blue armband, clearly identify myself at the Citizens Auxiliary Police with a pith helmet. And I would ask you where you see pith helmets, unless it is on a Citizens Auxiliary policeman. And
pith helmets? That's what guys wear in the desert.
The what?
Guys wear a pith helmet?
Yeah. I'm not talking about an old jungle movie.
I'm not talking about a jungle movie either. I mean, like archaeologists out in the desert?
Not archaeologists. I remember. Boy, you've really tried to misrepresent my position and position of Major Elvis Newton tonight. I'm very ungrateful for that.
Well, no, that has not been my intent. I'm trying to make sense out of what it is you're talking about, that's all. Let's go over to Robin in Boca Raton, Florida. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, I want to know something about the big cop that's sitting in your studio. Does he
I'm not in a studio. I'm on the phone. I'm on a telephone.
Oh, you're on the phone. Okay, wherever you are.
Okay, mistake number one.
Okay, listen. I'm sitting in a restaurant talking about Obama, talking about the health care bill, and I want to know and I want to see whose payroll you're on. Are you on Obama's payroll? Are you being paid by the Gestapo, or what's your story? I want to see your
Gestapo
ID.
Would be more up your alley because right wingers are Gestapo.
Yes, and really. I want to see you.
I'd like to know, what are you talking about? What are you saying exactly about it?
What am I saying? Anything?
Yeah, because I'm not going to arrest. I'm not going to zip tie you.
Yeah,
That's nothing.
I don't like him.
That's
he's
nothing.
A liar. He's not only a communist.
Oh, now you got to prove that. Now you have to prove that. Now you have
to really?
Prove that. See.
Well,
yes.
Here's
and
what
I would,
you
I,
have
at
to
At that
do.
Point, I would approach the table. And
you would?
I know you're a lady, but I would have to have
it
you.
It doesn't matter. I'm a lady. Oh, you're right. I'm a lady. I want to know where you get your money from. Who's
I'm very
paying
happy
you?
That, very happy I was
Who's
able to remind you that.
Where do you get your money from?
How did you know?
I want
well, first
see
of all, I'll tell you
ID.
That when you tell me how you know you're a lady.
All right, Jay. Okay.
That's stupid.
Well, she said she
you're
forgot.
Stupid. Okay.
No,
you know
said
what?
You forgot.
Guess what? You'd have to address the whole table.
Well, that's pretty weird. You forget you're a lady.
All right. Will you get past that?
You have no.
And answer her.
Okay,
answer her question.
My question.
Yeah, answer my
is
question.
This.
Whose payroll are you on? Whose payroll are
paid.
You on?
I don't get paid. I don't get
really?
Paid.
You're
we
doing this
force.
For nothing. You're doing this
we're
for nothing.
Force.
So you must. Yeah, you must be over.
And you. And you
yeah,
would spread
retired.
For nothing.
Okay, Jay.
She would. She'd spread for nothing.
Yeah, right.
And
okay.
You got a problem. Well, you've
good
got
luck.
It before.
All right. Watch it.
Well, at least she's asking for it. She's begging for it.
I'm begging
she's giving
for
me these openings,
it.
Man.
You're an
she's
idiot.
These,
you're an
she's
idiot.
Giving me these
and
openings.
So is the people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Goodbye.
So is the people. You mean so are the people. Your grammar is kind of messed up. I don't know what she talk about.
Does lady hang up?
She better have hung up. I will not put up with if I saw her, she'd be spreading.
Okay, fine. 877-876-PHIL. What was this point you wanted to make? I know you sent something to Bud.
Well, Phil, the point I wanted to make, and yeah, I did send Bud over a recording of something that I do want to bring up. Have you got a couple minutes?
Yeah, we're wrapping up the segment.
Back in 1969, Phil, a terrible series of murders were committed in the Los Angeles area. And that was on a Sharon Tate house, as you know. The man that committed those murders was named Charles Manson, and he said that the Beatles' White Album was the reason. He said Helter Skelter and a number of other songs predicted a race war, and I find it very interesting what I'm talking about tonight. When a man named Rocky called your show, and I brought up Rocky Raccoon, you didn't want to say nothing about it. Now, I want you to hear something, Mr. Henry, that is on the White Album by the Beatles. And here again, it predicts the end of the world. Now, this is a song that...
This is what...
Somewhere in the black mining hills...
Yeah, what about it?
Hold on for a minute. Rocky Raccoon. See, right there. This predicts the end of the world as Charles... Well, not Charles Manson, but...
What do you mean, this predicts the end of the world?
This was a song written by the Beatles and a guy named Rocky Collier Show. Did he not, or did he? Or did he?
Yes, he did.
All right, and I said, do you know the song Rocky Raccoon? You're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. You didn't want to talk about it? The lady didn't want to talk about it? Nobody. And yeah, here it is. He checked into his room. Okay. Now, right there. Only to find Gideon's Bible. Okay.
The end of the world, huh?
The end of the world, huh? You know, Mr. Henry, I have worked to shoot off the... There. This song is...
Will you get this guy out of here before I flip?
Well, he told me to do it.
Rocky Raccoon. It's Raccoon, by the way. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
You'll be sorry.
Phil Henry.